Well, today, of course, is St. Patrick's Day, a great feast day for some people. This is a bigger day than Easter for some people. I see many of you wearing green out there, which I think is wonderful, to remember our great saint, St. Patrick, one of the greatest evangelizers and missionaries in the history of the Catholic Church. One little Irish joke. What is Irish and stays out all night? Patio furniture. Of course, there's also the Irishman's seven-course dinner, a potato and a six-pack. So today, let's look at this great saint, St. Patrick, born in the year 390, died about the year 461. He lived to be over 90 years of age. What's really fascinating about St. Patrick, he is the patron saint of Ireland, of course, but he was born in England. He was British, so a lot of the Irish don't like to admit that. But he was born in Britain, in England. His father was a Roman military officer stationed in Britain at the time. And he spent his first 16 years of his life in Britain. But then he was kidnapped at the age of 16 and taken by Irish pirates to Ireland. So he was kidnapped, and so he was sold as a slave in Ireland. And there for the next 6 years, he would be a shepherd working out in the fields, experiencing the hunger and cold of that country. But this was when he had his conversion, his spiritual conversion. He began to think more about God and putting God first in his life. After 6 years there, he escaped on a German vessel. He was able to get to France, eventually back to England. But he could not forget the beautiful Irish people. And he had this great desire to serve God, to become a priest, and to go back to evangelize this beautiful people who were still involved in paganism and the Druid religion. So he was chosen, actually ordained a bishop at the young age of 42, sent back to Northern and Western Ireland. There he became the great missionary, the great apostle of Ireland. He, of course, realized these people were worshiping pagan gods, yet they were a good people. He was able to bring the Catholic faith to them. So he had to first start, of course, by helping to convert the chiefs, the kings. And so the story goes, it's a reliable story, that after the conversion of one of the great chiefs of Ireland, he looked down after the baptismal ceremony, realized that the chief had a wound in his foot, because St. Patrick, during the ceremony, had stuck his bishop's staff in the foot of the chief. And afterwards he asked, "Why didn't you tell me?" And the chief says, "I thought it was part of the ceremony." So he started with converting the chiefs, and then eventually the tribes were converted. He knew that the key would be establishing monasteries where they could have the great monks praying and doing penance for the conversion of the country. He established convents, founded dioceses and countless parishes. As a bishop, ordained many priests. He held church councils and synods. There was great opposition to his work, of course, the opposition of the pagans, because he would take these pagan feast days and he would baptize them and he would make them holy days. So instead of having a particular, let's say, a pagan ritual, he would then have a Christian feast day to try to overshadow the pagans' rituals. So he's betrayed by friends. He was criticized by fellow clergy. His life was threatened many times. He had to deal with the hardships of the weather and the travel in those days. But during his life, he almost with God's grace single-handedly converted Ireland to the Catholic faith. And then we see here the influence of one man, that he was able to help convert whole nation because of his holiness and his zeal for the salvation of souls. He was a man of prayer and a man of action. What a great witness that he is, a really patron saint of missionaries. And from Ireland would, over the last 1600 years, would go great missionaries that would establish monasteries throughout Europe with the great monastic renewal and revival. And then Ireland would send out, after the 1920s, missionaries from the Legion of Mary all over the world. And the Legion of Mary grew from just 15 women and Frank Duff in 1921 to now 3 million active members and over 10 million praying members throughout the world. So the Legion of Mary became one of the greatest missionary efforts, and still is, throughout the entire world. So we see the power of the Irish people, that the beauty of the Irish people and the faith of these Irish people that would send out missionaries all over the world and continue to do that today. So I give you a blessing with the relic of St. Patrick. You can venerate it after Mass. Through the intercession of the great Bishop and Apostle Patrick, may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.